Saying that we lost one of our longtime members this morning.
No, she just told me.
Oh, okay. But we were fortunate enough to get to go over and see the family last night. Is exhausted and has gone through quite a bit. So she will need our prayers and our hands and our feet, I'm sure, as time moves forward. She said something that was profound, and it's something that, you know, I think about upon the passing of loved ones. Her concern last night when I talked to her was that kids' lives go back to normal, grandkids' lives go back to normal, but that hole that she used to spend all the time with will no longer be there, so. She will need our help and our prayer, and I hope that she reaches out and is forthcoming with her needs, so that we can lend a hand. So, if you would join with me as I pray for the family for our invocation. God, it's at these times where my words are lacking, my humanness stands in the way of my ability to share the depth of our pain and our sadness and our frustration, losing a friend. Friend that's been such an influence in my life, and for me it's only been a little over 2 years. I can't imagine those in this body, those in this community who have spent 60, 70 years and his influence in their lives. God, right now I just lift up. It came quickly, it came unexpectedly. I just pray that she not second guess the decisions that she had made over the last several weeks. She said to us last night that she's convinced that if he didn't have the surgery, that this would not have happened. But God, we reminded her of that he was suffering. So this is not a time for her to second guess the things that they did or didn't do. This is the time for her to draw close to her friends and her family and her church and her God. Resting comfortably in the knowledge is home. Without pain, without suffering. And God, for us who are left behind, I just ask that you cement firmly in our minds the memories and the times that we've shared with Butch. That which will always be burned in my ears is the way he finished our Lord's Prayer with the strength of glory. For now, he is truly experiencing that glory. We just ask that you take hold of the family. Wrap your loving arms around them and let them know that the pain will cease eventually. Life will move forward. But until that time, I pray that we, as their family of faith, that we could stand in the gap to fulfill the needs that they may have moving forward. I just want to thank you for the time, albeit short, but memorable, that I had. Give us all strength. Give us all a tempered look as we all look at our own mortality. And know that it will happen to all of us eventually. But on the other side of that is your glory and your paradise. We thank you. We ask that you join us here this morning, that your spirit envelop all of us. You speak truth and peace and love, but most of all, love. We ask this in your precious and glorious name. Amen.
Call to worship this morning. Is Psalm 23, page 754. You want to say it first then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Recite with me, everyone. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, restores my life.
Leads me in right paths for the sake of the Lord's name.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live.
And the words that we will be singing are on 136 in the hymn book, but we'll be singing a different tune, so I hope that's not confusing. And this particular tune was written in 1915 by a choir called Brother James, and the tune is Brother James' Air. And in this version, you just sit, the last line of each verse gets repeated at the end of each verse, so. Doxology together.
Father, we thank you for all of the talents and the blessings that you have given to each one of us, the strengths, the favor that you've shown to each one of us. We ask that you accept this small token in return back to you for your glory, for your purpose, and for your kingdom. As always, we ask that you multiply these funds, that you keep us ever vigilant as to the proper use of these funds for your kingdom. We give you these tithes and these offerings. We give you our lives, and we thank you all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Time for concerns and praises.
He's doing very well. He's had a lot of scar tissue on his head, but apart from that, he's doing very well. He was out of surgery, having it removed, and fine, a bit croaky, but she's fine and back in the saddle, so we're all pleased with her.
Was that croaky?
Croaky, yes. Yes. She had a, yeah.
Oh, was that like horse?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little okay. Horse.
Just dictionary. That's
okay. Okay.
You do
large
that.
Print.
It's good to have back with us. It's
yes, great. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to add the name up to the curve. Almost got cancer. Want to add, she's going to have this next week.
If that's it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for return and his experiences, and even though I know it took longer and had more issues than he would have liked, we thank you that he is back. Strong, healthy, that it went well. God, we just also lift up others in our community who are facing medical issues and health issues, that you would just be with them. As always, with the medical staff, the medical team that is going to be with them and diagnose and treat and procedures and whatever is coming forward for them, we just ask that you go ahead and prepare the way. We thank you for who are doing well after their surgeries and their procedures. Again, God, we are just hearing of too many people in our community who are passing. Get word at seniors that another one of our seniors had passed from Morrow County. We're losing a generation quickly. My prayer is that there is the time and the motivation to have that generation pass to the younger generations the wisdom, the right living, the attitudes that push this country forward. I pray for opportunities where the younger generation and the older generations can come together. Can come together in service projects, mission projects, times of prayer, times of outreach. Where they can grow closer together. It's only when we spend time with one another that we truly learn, that we truly understand. God, you know the shape of our society. You know the condition of our cities and our world. I'm thankful that more and more people are coming to the knowledge that it's because of a lack of you. Not that you have turned, but that we as a society have pushed you away. My prayer for us is that we truly repent. Repent in the way that we turn away from the way that we have been walking into destruction and death and misery. And turn back to your glorious cross that is there as a symbol of life over death. And as always, as we lose our loved ones, I pray that you continue to minister to the families, to the spouses, to the children, to the friends. They have suffered a loss and a hole in their lives that they don't feel will ever be filled again. And there's only one true way to fill that, and that is with your Spirit. God, I thank you for the congregation. I thank you for these people who help give me strength. And as always, I thank you for that prayer that we recite each Sunday to remind us of the importance of, one, prayer in our lives, but two, simplicity. Let us not overcomplicate the message that you have given us. The message of love others as we have been loved. And always keep our eyes focused on the cross. Be with us as we recite that oh-so-important prayer in Scripture. The prayer that says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And our prayer hymn is 128, He Leadeth Me.
About Abraham's call, Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed of yours. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham took his wife Sarah and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east side of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on by stages towards Negev. This is the word of God for the people of God. Please read the rest of this story. It's very interesting.
I will be honest with you, when I heard that pass this morning, didn't know what I wanted to do, wasn't sure I wanted to do the message I had prepared. And to give you just a little insight into my preparation, I usually spend some of the time before the week thinking about topics, subjects that God is speaking to me. And then I spend the first part of the week, I hope, fine-tuning it, bringing it to some conclusion, and then hopefully by Thursday I pass that information on to Jody and to Lynn and to Chris and Hyla. So this message was done Wednesday afternoon. I think I sent the information to everybody on Thursday. And I tend to leave it sit. I go on with my life. I think about what we're doing for the weekend and going grocery shopping and all of that stuff that brings us day-to-day activities. And as a pastor, you hope, you pray that what you say up here is not the book according to David, but hopefully some divine intervention. Tammy did want me to tell you that I shared with her the scripture for this morning. This message seems to be more God and less David, thankfully. The only problem with that is sometimes it makes it difficult to deliver, so bear with me. This is a general topic that is very relevant, I think, this morning. The title of the message is Embracing the Fog, the Uncertainty That We Face in Our Christian Walk, and nothing more uncertain, nothing less uncertain than the prospect of death. The passage this morning is from 1 Corinthians 13:12. A simple passage that we all have heard many times. It says, for now, we only see a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. I'll be honest with you, I forgot what I sent for the call to worship this morning. Harry gave me the bulletin and I looked and I was, Psalm 23 could not have been a more appropriate call in light of the passing of our friend and brother. But there's a fog that we live with for all of our days here. And it has to begin with a confession that is rarely voiced in church, particularly from those who stand in this position. The confession that I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. So when we see the passing of one of our dear friends, it leads us to say, why now? I don't know, other than this passage in 1 Corinthians. That right now, you and I know in part. We look at this thing as if we're looking in a mirror, and it's a reflection of the best that we can see, the best that we can put together. But then, we will know for sure. This morning knows for sure. He's the lucky one of us. He's where there is no pain, no sickness, no confusion, no fog. The fog has been lifted. And with this uncertainty, the scripture does not chastise us. The scripture does not scold us for not having all the answers. They do not demand that we manufacture certainty like counterfeit coins. Instead, they invite us into the fog with a different kind of seed. I chose the Genesis passage. One of my favorite. As you sit and think about scripture, there are things that occur in the Bible that you pray, boy, I hope I would take that same course of action. God calls Abram. Look, you're very successful. You have everything you need right here. Congratulations. Abram standing there. Yeah, I've done a pretty good job. Oh, but one thing. I would like you to pack it all up as much as you can and go. Where? You don't get to know that. I'll show you. When will I get there? When you get there. The fog that Abram must have experienced in that time of God sending him out, in only his obedience and his love for his Lord. We know the rest of the story. He was the father of many nations. He was the man that we read about in Scripture because he was faithful to do what God had asked him to do. There was no map, there was no itinerary, just a voice and a promise. because those are the only things that we are going to have on our side, is a voice and a promise. The promise to me is the most crucial piece of this, because if we don't have that promise, if that promise isn't true, then Jesus was a fool, and unfortunately was a fool. But that promise is real. That promise is for us to grasp onto. The world wants to tell us that it's fake, that it doesn't exist, that we are all foolish for following. But there are too many truths in Scripture that have played themselves out in real life to discount the promise of Christ and everlasting life. We also have to think about the disciples in the boat. The waves slapping at the hull. The boat floundering back and forth because of the wind. This maybe sounds more like me, unfortunately. Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? Jesus again stands up. O ye of little faith. He doesn't hold them. He doesn't caress them. He doesn't say everything's going to be better. He speaks to the wind and the waves, and they calm down. That's what he does in our lives. He doesn't just fix the wounds. He goes and he repairs the source of the pain. We don't understand oftentimes how is this going to work itself out. And that's the beauty. We don't have to understand. The God that calls us through the fog encourages us to continue to walk through the fog. The fog isn't our enemy. The world is our enemy because God is on the other side of the fog. And if we continue to walk through it, he will meet us there with a loving embrace. Uncertainty then is not the opposite of faith. We could say that certainty can be the opposite of faith. The Pharisees were certain of their interpretations, their purity, their predictions, and they all missed the Messiah who was standing right in front of them. Meanwhile, a bleeding woman reaches through a crowd with nothing but a trembling hand, stating, if I only touch his garment, I'll be healed. Her uncertainty is shot through with hope, and it makes her whole. So what do we do when the fog thickens? What do we do when uncertainty overwhelms us? The first thing we do is we name the fog. Pretending the path is clear when it is not is piety. It's denial. Everything's fine. Don't worry about me. I don't need anything. The Psalms are drenched with disorientation. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? In Psalm 13. Bring your I don't know into the sanctuary. God is not rattled by our honesty. Second is to anchor to the known. In navigation, when visibility drops to zero, sailors do not invent new stars. They look and cling to the ones that they can still see. For us, those fixed points are not outcomes, but character and covenants. The knowledge that God is good, that God is with us, that God is making all things new is the message that we must take from the fog, the knowledge that God is here and he will always remain with us. We're called to write these on the doorposts of our hearts. The third is to walk anyway. Faith is not a feeling or certainty. It's a decision to take the next step with God. The Israelites crossed the Red Sea with the walls of water being held back and trembling on either side of them. They didn't wait for the path to feel safe. They walked while it was parting. Obedience in uncertainty is how the miracle stays ahead of us. If we wait for things in our lives to be certain, we'll never do anything, because life is filled with uncertainty. Life is filled with mystery and fog. The fourth is we're to hold others' hand. Uncertainty isolates the body of Christ. But as a caravan, we can all join together and trek through this together. When you cannot see, borrow the eyes of a brother or sister who has walked this stretch before you. And when they stumble, lend them your arm. We navigate the fog together, humming the old songs, until dawn and the fog clears. In 1654, a young pastor named Richard Baxter lay dying of tuberculosis. He wrote in his journal, "I preached today as a dying man to dying men." He didn't know that he would recover and live another 37 years, penning the saints' everlasting rest and shepherding a city through the plague, through fire. His uncertainty did not paralyze his pulpit, it purified it. Every sermon rang with eternity, because tomorrow is not guaranteed. And that's got to be the biggest piece of our uncertainty and our fog that we live with. I think we're all surprised to be here today without. We didn't expect it. It happened quickly. He seemed to be doing well. He was back home. He was up walking around. And then things that we couldn't have predicted, things that they didn't predict, happened. The uncertainty, the fog, is always there. But God calls us to continue to walk through the fog with his cross in our view. One day the glass will shatter, the veil will tear, and we will see face to face. Until then, we walk by faith, groping, sometimes stumbling, but always held. The same hands that flung stars into the space are cupped beneath our chins, whispering, "This way, child, just one more step." So today, let the planners plan, the predictors predict, the anxious scroll. We will lift our eyes to the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, and we will follow, uncertain of the path, but dead certain of the guide who guides us. Will you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, today we know in part. But there's a day that you promise us that we will see fully. A day that we enter glory. A day that we enter eternity to be with you. The time spent here on earth is troublesome, is worrisome, is wrought with potholes and pitfalls and evil. God, we have one of two choices. We can either focus on that, or we can focus on the author of all things good, the one who gives us peace and love and mercy and grace and eternity. And in return, the expectation for all of us is that we will take the next step forward. When the fog is dense and we can't see our hands in front of our face, continue to listen to the voice that speaks to you, that says, "Child, one more step, one more step." promise is that on the other side of the fog, when the fog is lifted and clarity comes to us, we will stand face to face with that author of goodness and life. We will be standing before him as he speaks to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." For that's the promise that we have of what lies on the other side. This, for all of us, is temporary. We will all pass. We will all leave a hole in the lives of somebody that we love, and I know that is painful. It's not something we want to think about. But all we can do is trust that God will be behind us and will fill the void that we leave with his Spirit and his love and his mercy, as I pray that he is doing this morning. So we are to embrace the fog. Embrace the problems and the confusions that we have in this life, because they allow God to show himself faithful in all of our lives, in all that he has promised us. We are to listen for that voice that guides. We welcome you here. We welcome you into our lives. We ask all of this in your glorious name. Amen.
We stand for our last hymn. 525.
We will understand it better by five. We are tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests on the sea to rise up shine. In a land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute.
listen for his voice, grasp onto his promise, and walk through the fog. In Jesus' name.